You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
This month, a number of council body reforms have come into effect in the Auckland Council, fulfilling Mayor Wayne Brown's promise to address issues and implement community feedback into the council's format. The three new divisions in the Auckland Council to improve organisation include the Auckland Urban Development Office, the Property Department, and an Economic Development Office, each of which are intended to make decision-making more effective and accessible to the public. As well, with the persisting cold temperatures and rainy weather hitting Auckland this winter, I wanted to discuss the topic of homelessness in Auckland city centre and to what extent the council is working to support those rough sleeping in the CBD. I spoke with Councillor Shane Henderson this morning about both of these topics, starting with my questions on the council reforms. Yeah. Firstly, can you talk a bit about what changes have been made to the Auckland Urban Development Office and the benefits the council hopes these will produce?
Yeah, totally. So there's been a real desire from the public to look at our council-controlled organisations like Eke Panuku, which was in charge of the urban development of Auckland, and how can we make them more sort of democratically accountable and look to bring services back in-house. So that's been a huge piece of work over the last year. And what it's resulted in now is what's called the Urban Development Office, which is sited within council, but will have kind of, I think, the flexibility to deal in the kind of property transactions that's needed for that kind of office. And hopefully this will result in a really exciting time for residents and communities to kind of see on the ground some of the great work that they have already done as in their previous iteration and will continue to do.
What have been some of the main issues the council body reforms have sought to address with relation to Auckland transport?
Yeah, so it sort of goes back to that feelings of accountability again, and that communities are feeling that they're not listened to, or their words are not sort of taken on board and allowing sort of changes through what their feedback is. And so what can we do about that? Well, one of the things that we've looked at is through the CCO reform, as I said, bringing in services back in-house where it makes sense. And I think a lot of Aucklanders would say that the policy functions of Auckland Transport really cuts to the heart of what democratic accountability and democracy really is, and would expect councillors to be directing that with the help of the residents. So, yeah, so basically what's come in-house through AT is kind of a policy situation so that we can direct things a little bit firmer on the ground for people, yeah.
Yeah, you're talking a bit about some concerns coming from the community. Can you talk a bit about how some of this public feedback has been incorporated into the reforms, and are you happy with how Auckland Council has managed this public feedback process?
Yeah, look, I'm delighted with how it's all turning out, and I think the feedback so far is looking pretty good through the channels that I've sort of heard. Look, very, very happy with it. I think it's a great day when we can increase democratic accountability. The challenge with transport specifically is that, you know, Aucklanders have very high opinions and strong opinions about how they feel things should be. Sometimes those can be in conflict. So that's why you elect politicians. And if you don't like those politicians, you can replace them with new ones every 3 years, right? And so this is kind of what the reforms are designed to do.
What are your hopes for the regional deal between Auckland and the central government, and what will be the council's priorities going into negotiations?
Yeah, exciting new frontier for the city, the regional deal. My personal hope is that we're having a strong focus on economic development because, you know, our region is a huge contributor nationally to GDP. I think it's about 38% of the country's GDP comes from Auckland. But people are struggling out there and our unemployment is going up. And we kind of have the solutions here with, you know, many industries in Auckland that are doing fantastically that need some sort of extra help and extra support from central government. And I'm thinking things like tourism. I'm thinking major events funding. That's a big issue for the city. And I'm even thinking things, you know, the West Auckland, like our screen industry that's had some fantastic help that needs to kind of continue and strengthen as much as we can. So, you know, it's up to us to kind of create jobs here. I think that through a regional deal framework, we can do that.
For my second topic, I wanted to talk about something that is quite important to me, I think. We're quite a big city, Auckland, and we're right in the middle of winter. Homelessness is an ever-present and quite visible issue, particularly in the city centre. How has Auckland Council been responding to, this year in particular, rising numbers of homeless people, especially rough sleeping in the CBD?
Yeah, I spoke last night on this topic, actually, at a public event, and that was pretty good. In terms of homelessness, we've got to take a really strong approach because housing is a fundamental human right, and it's something that any city leader, any country leader should be taking first and trying to tackle the issue as much as we can. Because, you know, as we say, housing is kind of the everything problem. If you don't have secure, warm, dry housing that's available to you, then that has flow-on effects to all manner of things, your health and well-being, family time, etc. What's council doing about it? Well, we do fund groups and fund things to kind of do work on the ground there and coordinate efforts. I think that funding should be continuing, but there is a wider conversation for our city, and that's that we need to ensure housing supply and in the right places. So that's one of the missions that sort of I have and many other politicians have as well, is that we've got to be making sure that our housing supply is up to scratch so that we can actually get our homeless into homes.
Do you think the government's recent changes to eligibility for emergency housing, which do make it more difficult to access, are justified?
No, I think it's a huge concern. I think that we should be doubling down on public housing and emergency housing rather than looking to restrict it or to kind of reduce its availability at all. You know, I think that homelessness, to be honest, is a policy choice by politicians, and we can choose to fix this problem or come a long way toward doing so anyway. And these kind of moves, I think, are really a wrong step, and it's something that I thoroughly oppose.
Are you concerned about the extent to which funding and decision-making in the homelessness sector draws somewhat from the central government, when it is clear that much of the mahi and knowledge comes from grassroots groups and the community itself?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that enabling groups on the ground and communities on the ground to solve the issue, that's the way forward. And you can see when we're funding these fantastic groups that are doing really great work, they have huge results. And so a bottom-up approach rather than a top-down approach, that's exactly what we should be doing. And Council stands ready as a strong partner in that, I believe, because we have the knowledge and the communication and the networks. We're on the ground in the biggest city of New Zealand to solve this issue. So, look, stronger partnerships between central and local government is a really great thing, but that should be for the purpose of funding and supporting the community groups that are doing the hard work.
How, if at all, has homelessness been considered in Auckland Council's plans for housing and business intensification in the CBD and general future planning?
I think I'm just saying it for myself, not enough. I think, honestly, that we should be taking a supply-first approach to this because, you know, the evidence is quite clear that if you increase supply actually in any kind of typology of housing, then that has flow-on effects for that entire market, and it does get homelessness into housing that frees up and becomes available. And so, honestly, we are getting better and better in terms of that supply conversation, and I'm really proud of that. But I think we've got to just make sure that we keep our homeless community in the front of our minds, because they're the Aucklanders that are really doing it so tough, and we've got to help them out.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.